In January 2018, the world stood rapt as woman after woman gave emotional statements detailing their abuse at the hands of former Michigan State University sports doctor Larry Nassar, who is now serving what amounts to a life sentence. Since then, every few weeks seems to bring some new headline about accountability for the adults who failed to stop Nassar's abuse. It's also been a year of intense media attention on sexual assault. What has all of that been like to be a survivor of Nassar's abuse in the midst of this? With us are two of those survivors. Morgan McCall is a University of Michigan student and a sexual assault activist. And Grace French is the founder of the nonprofit group, The Army of Survivors. Both women sought treatment from Nassar for dance injuries. Welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So in recent weeks, criminal charges have been filed against former MSU president Luana Simon and former Spartan gymnastics coach Kathy Klegas. Morgan McCall, are these charges a move in the right direction in terms of that accountability? Is it enough?
Absolutely, it's a move in the right direction. You know, we are never going to get full justice. We can never undo the damage that has been done. But these are really the steps towards accountability and healing for these women as we move forward with our lives.
And what's your take, Grace? Is this enough?
Like Morgan was saying, it's never going to be enough. I do think this is a step in the right direction. I think there are lots more steps that can be taken and making sure that everybody is held accountable.
And what steps, what kind of steps do you have in mind?
One for sure would be an apology, I think, from Michigan State. There are so many people who were hurt by this, and not just survivors, but parents and the community and the lying that has happened since then, or people who are still waiting for an answer from MSU, and they just seem to not understand the hurt that they have caused and are still causing.
Now, I know the school has made some policy changes in the wake of the Nassar scandal. We've explored them here on Stateside. Do you feel as though the university is making a good faith effort to put things right, Morgan?
I do. I think that that comes from the collective of staff and students who have really stood up and used their voices for what's right. Now, the same cannot be said coming out of the administration in the Hanna building. They have made incredible derogatory statements about survivors. They've gone back on their word time and time again. They have turned out student activists and survivors in the most important of days. Any change that we see on that campus is thanks to the people who were willing to fight for it and to fight against the administration for it.
When you say people, certainly those of you in the sisterhood of survivors have done that. Who has been doing it right, in your view, amongst the community of the college, of the university?
I mean, I spent a lot of time working with a student group called Reclaim MSU. They've been one of my closest allies throughout the past year in doing activism on campus and kind of being the boots on the ground when we can't always be there.
What's your take, Grace?
I think with MSU, one of the things that a lot of the survivors have been calling for and the community has been calling for since the beginning is transparency. And while some of the administration believes that transparency has been completed and that they are working towards that goal, it's hard to see that when you start seeing some of the changes, like the presidential search being closed to the public, when there are certain decisions that are being made behind closed doors that go against what they say they're moving toward. It really is harmful towards their vision of complete healing from this.
I'm speaking with Morgan McCall and Grace French, both of them survivors of abuse committed by Larry Nassar. Thinking of this intense year of media coverage, Morgan McCall, when you consider all of the reporting and all the coverage of survivors' experience and of Larry Nassar, what do you think the things are they got right?
I think that using media in order to empower survivors' voices, providing us a platform to speak for ourselves on behalf of ourselves and to let us fight for what we believe should come in the aftermath of these horrible assaults has been invaluable. And it's something that survivors have been denied for so long. Being able to tell our stories and being able to change the course of our stories as we see fit has been very important.
Grace French, what do you think the media coverage has missed or gotten wrong?
I think one of the biggest things that I've heard call out from a couple of survivors is just, and this may be superficial in some ways, but the ways that the media puts Nassar's face in the front of every single news coverage. And I think a lot of the survivors find this very triggering when scrolling through their news feeds or when looking up news about what's happening in our case or the outcomes afterwards. That's one of the biggest things that I've heard so far, just called out about what's hurting. I think in general, it's been great to have our voices heard and to be amplified by the media, like Morgan was saying, and that's been so much more important than anything so far.
When you've had now these months since those powerful moments in the courtroom that we all saw last January with the victim impact statements, as you look back and you've kind of processed this, why were you both willing to come forward and to share your stories? Morgan, I'll start with you.
So I had actually come forward a few months prior to impact statements after a round of mediation with MSU that was unsuccessful. I came forward because I did not feel that the university recognized the value of a life, and I did not believe that the university understood the depth of the damage that they had done by contributing to this culture that produced so many victims. And then I spoke in court for me. That was something that I was able to use to kind of launch both into my adulthood as I turned 18, but also to kind of close a chapter in my life that involved Larry Nassar. Moving forward from that point, I was able to focus it on advocacy and on activism, on righting the wrongs for so many people, not just myself. And that was incredibly cathartic.
And Grace, I know not only did you share your story, but you have founded the Army of Survivors. What impelled you to go ahead and take that step and come forward in this way?
I think understanding that a name at some point does mean so much and that we're not just a number anymore, and understanding that this has impacted us as a person and as somebody who was a child at the time and somebody who was 12 when the abuse started. Having a voice is powerful in itself, but I think having a name to it, you're able to connect to the person more freely than I think a number. And I think that activism has helped me heal in so many ways that coming forward has been such a journey and such a healing process that I don't think I would have had if I were keeping it to myself. Not to say that keeping it to yourself is bad. I think that's important to come out at your own time and to do what you need to do in order to heal.
When you think of this time you have now spent in the spotlight talking to people like me about such a very personal and a painful thing that had happened to you, so you had your life altered by what happened with Nassar, and now, as you say, you've put faces and names to these stories. How has it been for you? How has that changed you, the process of sharing and talking to the media, Morgan?
Throughout my interaction with media, specifically related to my abuse, it's gotten a lot easier to talk about it. I often say that my activism, specifically interacting with platforms like Michigan Radio, has been a sort of therapy. It's not traditional, but it allows me to kind of create some positive retroactive noise on behalf of the little girl that I was that couldn't do so. It has been difficult, but it's been an honor.
And Grace, how about you?
I think having a voice and the momentum behind this case in order to use my voice for something so good and so powerful has been such an honor, and it's helped me to be able to process the story even more and to understand how people will see the story through the media that it's gotten has been so impactful in how I see myself as a survivor as well.
Grace French, Morgan McCall, we want to thank you so much for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Many of Larry Nassar's victims did not know they'd been sexually abused until the fall of 2016, when Rachel Den Hollander told her story to the Indy Star. For survivor Trine Ganzar, it took even longer. In this week's episode of Believed, what it's like to realize that someone you love, someone you trust, is a predator. Michigan Radio's Kate Wells takes us to the moment when Trine learned Larry had been put on leave by Michigan State University after Amanda Tomasho filed a Title IX report.
At that point in 2014, Trine is traveling overseas. So she messages Larry on Facebook.
"What's going on? Are you all right?" And he'd be like, "Oh, I'm okay. Like, you know, just send prayers and, you know, we're going to get through it together and such and such."
And Larry did get through it again.
Each time Larry was believed instead of his accusers, Trine's trust in Larry is reaffirmed. It is legitimate treatment. Poor guy, it's just misunderstood. So when Trine sees Rachel's story in the Indy Star in 2016, she's sad, sure, but sad for Larry, sad for his wife, Stephanie, their kids.
And I felt really bad for Jim, you know, all these people that love this person, like so much love for him.
It might sound strange, but Trine's belief in Larry, it doesn't fade, not right away. I mean, she's got 30 plus years of love for this guy.
Listen to episode 7 of Believed, What Have You Done? You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. New episodes out every Monday.